नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This evening we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita, as it is, with translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Text number 66. Anybody knows who that, what that verse is? By chance? Go ahead, guess. Huh? Not you.
Which chapter?
1866. How about some guesses? Come on.
Da!
No, not da. Huh? Any other guesses, my foot?
Da!
Anybody else? Good guess. That's 65. Sarva Dharma Paritya. That's a pretty famous verse, eh? That's what it's all about. Surrender. When are we going to give up our false attachment to this material world? You ever wonder? Surrender to Krishna? Well, let's see what Prabhupada has to say. Sarva dharman parityajya
Sarva dharman parityajya
Malikam sharanam braja
Malikam sharanam braja
Aham tvam sarva papebhyo
Aham tvam sarva papebhyo
Aham tvam sarva papebhyo
Aham tvam sarva papebhyo
Mokshayishyami ma shuchah
Mokshayishyami ma shuchah
Excuse me here. You know, the first books that they smuggled into Russia, 1971, those books were read thousands and thousands of times. It was passed around, you know, looks like this one's been read a few thousand times. Sarva dharman, all varieties of religion, parityajya, abandoning, everybody knows that word, abandoning, giving up. Mam unto me, ekam only, sharanam, for surrender, vraja, go. Probably thought there was another meaning to vraja. There is, but here it means go. Aham, I, tvam. It's not tvam, it's tvam. You, sarva all, papibhyaha, from sinful reactions, moksha yishyami, will deliver, ma, do not, shuchaha, worry. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So, you have to give up being Orthodox Christians. You have to give up being Jews. You have to give up being Muslims and you have to become Hindus. Right? No. That's not what it says. That's what people think. because people are so much into competition. My daddy's better than your daddy. You know, from a pretty young age. Little kids. My daddy's a better fighter than your daddy. My religion is better than your religion. Purport. The Lord has described various kinds of knowledge and processes of religion. Knowledge of the Supreme Brahman, knowledge of the Super Soul, knowledge of the different types of orders and statuses of social life, knowledge of the renounced order of life, knowledge of non-attachment, sense and mind control, meditation, etc. What word comes up very often here? Huh?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. People, you know, generally they think that religion is a question of faith. Well, faith is there, but it's not blind faith. It's sakaran shraddha. It's faith with knowledge. I don't see how anyone in his right mind cannot recognize that Albert Einstein was an intelligent person. He had a lot of knowledge. In fact, they kept his brain after he died. It was quite big and quite developed. He said, religion without philosophy is just sentiment. We know what that can lead to. Fanaticism. On the other hand, philosophy without religion is just mental speculation. I think it's like this, it could be like that, maybe it's like this. So he said there's a marriage of religion and philosophy. They go hand to hand, hand in hand, together. So Krishna has described to Arjuna practically everything about knowledge and religion. Although the Bhagavad Gita is from the Mahabharata, the Mahabharata was compiled after all the other Vedic literatures were compiled. It's the simplest book. How many of you have read the Mahabharata? I really would advise you to read it. We have some nice editions now. There's one by, I was going to say Purnaprajna, but I was going to say Krishna Dharma, which is being published by the BBT now, but he published it before that with Torchlight Publishing, which is a devotee company. And another edition, which is also very, very good, and there's a little difference in them. One has more stories in this direction, and another has some different stories, but left out some that edition covered. The point is that both of them are excellent. One by Purnaprajna Das. I have a copy of that with me. And one by Krishna Dharma, which I've read twice, and I've read other editions in India. It's a very exciting book. And the essence, of course, is the Bhagavad Gita, but the Bhagavad Gita comes so much more alive when you read the background behind it. And of course it's full of intrigue and violence and romance and all those good things. So it's very exciting to read. And there's a lot of moral instruction, and there's really a lot of good instruction about destiny. If you've ever had any questions in your mind about destiny, the Mahabharata is, there's a lot of statements made by many rishis and sages about destiny. So, the Bhagavad Gita is the ABC, and yet still Krishna has covered so much. And now, in summarizing the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that Arjuna should give up all the processes that have been explained to him, and he should simply surrender to Krishna. That surrender will save him from all kinds of sinful reactions, for the Lord personally promises to protect him. I think one of the most disturbing things, one of the most bewildering things about when you first start to think about finding a spiritual path is you look at the vast, very great array. Array means, what's array? Okay. Whatever it was, everybody understood? Okay, the vast array of options available. You know, there are as many religions as there are people in California. I should tell you a joke. Bosnia, they love jokes, you know. We have one devotee there. He's really good. Oh, what's his name?
He was here, actually.
Yeah,
Galway.
Daksha, y'all know Daksha? We did a little skit at Pula Camp a couple of years ago. He played this old lady that he's famous for.
Minka.
Yes. He played Minka at Pula Camp. That's really funny. Anyway, the Christian tradition has really got a lot to offer the world. A lot of, you know, good moral instruction and a lot of inspiring examples of people who sacrificed for the Lord. But they have not been so good at presenting their teachings in a scientific way. And their tradition, their parampara, it's not so well defined, especially from the beginning, because they didn't start teaching about Jesus Christ until about 50 or 100 years after he had already left the world. So, in fact, there was just an article in some big newspaper in the West that there's some good evidence that Jesus Christ actually lived and died in Nepal. After the crucifixion, etc. That's where he went. But anyway, because of that, people make jokes. You know, that the atheists and the skeptics, etc. So one joke I saw, which is kind of degrading, but it's what happens when you don't present your teachings in a very systematic and scientific way. It's what happens when we don't follow the parampara, but we speculate and start deviating from the the Orthodox tradition. We can call it an Orthodox tradition, but if we deviate from the actual Orthodox tradition, then we're in trouble. But the email that was sent to me was that there's been a lot of speculation about who Jesus Christ really was. They're not quite sure. There's evidence that he was Jewish because he went into his father's business. You know, he was a carpenter, his father was a carpenter, and Jews, they always go into their father's business. He stayed at home until he was almost 33. Jewish boys do that a lot. And he thought his mother was a virgin, and his mother thought that her son was God. And then there's evidence that Jesus Christ was Italian, because he talked with his hands, and he drank wine with every meal, and he used oil.
Olive oil.
Olive oil, all right, olive oil. Olive oil. This is oil. He used olive oil. There's evidence that he was black, because he called every man brother. he couldn't get a fair trial. and I forget, there's some other evidence that he was black. There's evidence that he was Irish, because he never got married. He, something about kissing some of the stone, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, evidence that he's Irish. There's evidence that he was a woman, because he had to feed a large group of people at a moment's notice, and there was no food around. He tried to get a very important message across to a group of men, but they just couldn't get it. And the third reason was that even when he was dead, he had to get up because there was more work to do. And there's evidence that he was a Californian. He let his hair grow. He walked around everywhere barefoot. And he started a new religion. So, it's like that. It's hard to really understand where you should go. I'm serious. In America, every week or every 2 weeks, a new religion. A lot of people do it because they get tax exemption. Still, it's very bewildering. But Krishna here is not talking about that at all. He's talking about principles, eternal principles. And therefore, he tells Arjuna, give up speculative, mundane processes. Just like someone's a lawyer, and he's got to feed his family and get some income. He needs a place to stay. And someone's a businessman, someone's a doctor, and someone's a priest. Got to feed his family. He's got to have a place to stay. And, you know, he did a little religious history study. How many people really want to understand the essence? Just like I would think that all of you, because you're not Hindus, in fact, a few years ago, you didn't even know anything about Vedic Sanatana Dharma. But I'm supposing, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but if you're anything like me, I just want to know the truth. I don't care that much about... I'm happy that Krishna is blue and plays on his flute and loves the cows and dances with the gopis. I mean, it's very beautiful. But when I started out, it didn't matter to me. I just want to know the absolute truth. I don't care if he's Serbian or French or Indian or none of the above. And there are not many people like that. Amazing as it may seem, Manushanam Sahasreshu Kaschid Yatati Siddhaye. There are very few people who want to become Siddha or are seeking perfection. And Yatatamapi Siddhanam, those who want to develop Siddha or perfection, Kaschid Mam Veti Tattvataha. Hardly one will come to the tattva, the truth. So, that is the only thing that's going to free us from our sinful reactions. I think the Pope is, a really great guy. He's one of the more strict popes, and he's a hard worker, and fearless, and a lot of good qualities, but he shouldn't eat cows. Because he's... And I don't care what kind of staff he carries or crown on his head, but for every hair on the back of every cow that he kills by his eating habits, he's going to have to take birth and be killed. There's got to be a reaction for killing. You can't just do things indiscriminately, causing pain to everyone, and expect that there'll be no retribution, there's no one watching, it's all just blind, and do whatever you like. Not at all. This material universe, material cosmos, is very organized. If the sun were even 1 degree closer, we would all be barbecued. 1 degree. But even 1 degree farther away would be popsicles. That would be ice. We'd be frozen. If the law of gravity weren't there, we could fly. And we would. We'd just go off into the stratosphere. So, if there's a law, what does that mean? You ever find a law where there was nobody who made the law? There's one of my godbrothers did a radio program called The Adventures of Radio Ram. So, in it, there's a skit, a little, what do you call a skit? You call it a...
Sketch.
Huh? Sketch, a little sketch. And it's on the radio. He's doing all the voices. But a guy comes into a restaurant, and the waitress is there, and he says, "What do you got on the menu?" And she says, "We have some amino acid this, and some, things." "What's the special for the day?" "Primordial soup." "Well, who made it?" "I don't know who made it." "What do you mean you don't know who made it?" "Well, I just come in here every day, there it is." "What do you mean nobody made it?" "I don't know, that's the way it is, mister. I just come in here in the morning and there's the primordial soup. The college kids love it." Now I'm going, And then the boss says, what's the matter with that guy? I don't know, he couldn't take the primordial soup. Well, anyway, as long as he's in the minority, we won't have any problems. It just happened by accident. It's ludicrous. Nothing happens by accident. Nothing happens by chance. You know, you go to a, if you throw a coin up in the air, you know, sometimes, shall I go to school today or shall I not? Heads, I go to school. Tails, I don't. Take a chance. Depend on chance. But if you were to throw 100 coins up in the air, you'd still have a tough time because 50 would come down heads and 50 would come down tails. The more you increase the number, the less the possibility of there being any chance. And there's a lot of molecules in the universe. And it's impossible that they'll come together by chance and create life. In fact, Sir Fred Hoyle and one Vikram Singe, both mathematicians, one from Sri Lanka and one from London, they calculated the possibility for life to arise by chance. What it means is something of very low information, you know, a tiny molecule. It doesn't have a lot of complexity in it. There's not a lot of information content there. Now, for that to evolve by accident, even to the tiniest microorganism called an E. coli, which, you know, you've got to look at it under a microscope, even for that to happen, they predicted from this idea of the complexity of the E. coli and the complexity of a tiny atom or molecule. There's one chance in 10 with 2,000 zeros after it. 10 to the 2,000th power. One chance. That means it's impossible, even in mathematical terms. But still, people go on, yeah. Well, there was a bang, There's another sketch that they do. It's called Big Bang Constructions. You know, funny, it's an advertisement for the Big Bang Constructions, and the announcer on the advertisement on the radio says, are you having trouble finding the right house? You say you get a good neighborhood, but there's no plot available, or you get a plot, but it's in a bad neighborhood, and you just can't seem to find the right house that you like, that you really want. Well, your worries are over. Come to us, Big Bang Construction. You just find any plot, anywhere, in any neighborhood that you like, and we'll come in, and using principles that were used for the creation of the universe, and we'll add our own special ingredients. We'll bring some bricks, some cement, and a little bit of dynamite invented by Nobel. You know, the guy who brings you Nobel Peace Prize. And we'll literally blow your house into existence. The perfect house. No, it's a joke. So, there is organization in the universe. And we have to pay for our actions. We don't see so much of it here in the West. But if you go to Asia, they don't have a lot of mental hospitals or crippled homes, or, you know. even in this life, even in our, you know, so-called sophisticated society, there are things that are different, or you would say freakish. But in Asia, you can see people everywhere, you know, people who are born with all kinds of defects, people who live, you'll see a huge skyscraper with big, big apartments, and right outside the skyscraper, there's a slum dwelling with people who, they have a tin sheet for a roof and, you know, some plastic size to their house, and, you know, the little kids are running around naked, and, you know, they practically sleep on the side of the road, and all day long they're begging and trying to get something to eat, and, you know, take compassion on them, oh, poor kids, take a rupee, you know, right? You don't know. How did they get in that body? What did they do to deserve that? What about Rwanda? You ever heard of Rwanda in Africa? Over 1 million people were murdered in the tribal clashes. They weren't, you know, given, you know, some little sleeping pill or something. People were, arms and heads were cut off. It was vicious. Women were, priests were just completely mutilated. Children butchered. Why did they do, they're spirit souls in those bodies. Why were they born in those bodies? Why did it happen to them? Did they do something maybe to deserve it in their past life? Is there some reason that, you know, someone's born in America, in a big house with all facility, and someone's born in Rwanda and can never get out of that condition to save their lives? They'll never know anything else but that. There's a reason, and it's our sinful activities. In the 7th chapter, it was said that only one who has become free from all sinful reactions can take to the worship of Lord Krishna. Thus one may think that unless he is free from all sinful reactions, he cannot take to the surrendering process. To such doubts, it is here said that even if one is not free from all sinful reactions, simply by the process of surrendering to Krishna, there is a process. I hear this all the time. Maharaj, I just don't have a taste for chanting. Can't chant my rounds, I don't have a taste. You know. Srila Prabhupada said it took him 33 years to perfect his chanting. Now, I don't know what he meant by that, because as far as I know, he was always pure. Maybe he said it for our benefit. But even if he meant it, he was so spiritually superior to us in every way, and it took him 30 years. It may take us a little while to develop a real taste for chanting, but there is a process. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava maha davagni nirvapana. The mirror of the heart is cleansed. The dust, the dirt, the lust, kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, kamesha, krodesha, rajagun, samudbhava, mahashano, maha, papma, vidyenam, hiha, vairinam. Anybody know the meaning of the word vairinam? It's not virus either. It's like virus. It means enemy. You know who our enemy is? You know who Milosevic's enemy is? You know who Clinton's enemy is, George Bush's enemy. It's lust, the real enemy. If we can control our mind and senses, we're free. It's so important. We're slaves right now. We're chained up. We're suffering from a skin disease, a serious skin disease. And I don't mean eczema. I don't mean a rash or... I mean, we think I am the skin, and therefore we experience duality, beginning and end, pain and pleasure, heat and cold, happiness, distress, because of our own attachment for the body. It's so ludicrous. We're hearing it again and again and again. When we read Prabhupada's books, when we associate with devotees, when we listen to tapes, but we won't let go. You know how they catch monkeys in Africa? Anybody know? You know? Huh? They take a coconut. Huh? You know that? Coconut? Yeah. You heard it from whom? Who did you hear the story from, how they catch monkeys in Africa?
I saw it when I was
young
on television. Oh. But it was with salt, not with the coconut.
With a which? With
salt.
Salt.
Yeah, they put in a hole and he comes, put his hand in the hole, yeah. And then he cannot pull
it. Can't pull it out, he won't let go. Well, I heard a story that they have a coconut and they dig a hole in the coconut and put some hot peanuts inside. Then they dig a little hole on the other side and put a rope with a knot. Then they hide behind the bushes and put the coconut in the middle of a field. And the monkey comes and puts his hands in the coconut, gets the peanuts, and then they just pull him in. All he's got to do is let go. He's being pulled. He just got to let go. But he won't let go. Madness. We're actually, all of us, means we, it means everybody, we're mad. Because it's obvious what's going to happen to us. Here's a good one. All of us are going to die. Our relatives are going to die. Sure as death. 100%. Two things. Death and taxes. And yet we get attached to somebody else's body and we give all of our love and affection. We're going to die today, tomorrow. We're going to suffer like anything. But instead of looking for someone eternal to love, because we have no information, you can, you know, just like supposing, well, of course, Rukmini, she's a good example. She didn't meet Krishna. She just heard about how wonderful Krishna was, and she developed her love for him. She sent a messenger, please tell Krishna to come and take me away, steal me in the Swayambar, because otherwise I'll be married to someone I have no attraction to. But even in our own experience, someone we may have a little affection for, and when they go away, the affection grows. So even though they're not immediately within our purview, within our seeing or hearing or touching area, still love grows. So why is it so hard to understand that if you study who is this person, Krishna, he's very, very special. And did any of you see the movie Gandhi?
Yeah.
Now, how many saw Gandhi? Don't lie now, come on. It was a good movie. I think a lot of devotees saw it. I have it upstairs if anybody... No. But there's one scene, the Prabhupada talks about this one. He says that in Krishna consciousness there is no divorce. My parents got divorced, and I'll tell you, it's as bad or worse than abortion, in the sense that I saw my younger brother completely go mad, go crazy. I mean, later on, he straightened out and he got a Fulbright scholarship, which is like a Rhodes scholarship, one of the most prestigious scholarships you can get. And he's a professor of history. And he's a little bit Christian conscious too. But he was so torn apart by my parents getting divorced that he became a juvenile delinquent. He started, taking drugs and doing all kinds of stupid things for a number of years. He just totally went crazy. I don't think he ever forgave my father. So, anyway, Prabhupada says there's no divorce. There is divorce, but you have to take sannyas. It's not like you get divorced and get another wife or something, or another husband. That, I know, it's our society. I read once that in Russia, and I confirmed it with some devotees too, that on an average, that was abortions, they'll have on an average 10 to 15 abortions. But divorces also were quite common, because there's no God, there's no retribution. But it's very demeaning, very bad thing. We're asked mantra sparshas to konte asitoshna sukha dukha da arama paino nityas tongues to tikshasva. We have to learn to tolerate so many things. We should also tolerate each other. And anyway, he gave the example of Gandhi and how, even Gandhi, who was supposedly so equanimical and saw everybody equal, he fought with his wife all the time. And even once he kicked her out of the house, and then she cried, "Where will I go?" Then he accepted her back. But at the end of that, or during part of that movie, he explained to this American reporter, there was the British, but there was an American there who came to report on Gandhi's movement to throw the British out of India. And Gandhi was explaining to him how he and his wife had been married. And he said that it was an arranged marriage. He said, and she actually used to come and bring me things. She was living at her parents' house. And by service, we developed a relationship. It wasn't, love at lust at first sight or something. But it was through service. Respect and service, friendship and love developed much stronger by service. That's the key. That's how we can develop a relationship with Krishna, by service, even though he may not be immediately present before us, but we can develop a real loving feeling for God by practice of the process of devotional service. It is a system, it is a technique, it is a process, but it's designed by the greatest technologists in the field, great sages and saintly persons have understood how Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam, using our senses to serve the master of the senses, will bring out from us the love that's already there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kavunai. It is sadhya. It's already there in your heart. It's not hard to love God. Not hard to love God. We want to love God. We want someone who's perfect, who knows us, who's kind to us, who can reciprocate with us, who has our best interest at heart in everything. We want that. And we can't in this material world. Everyone will cheat you. Everyone has the cheating propensity. Everyone eventually will cheat you. And then the devotee said, only you won't cheat us, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, no, I will also cheat you. Only Krishna. Well, of course, Prabhupada was not cheating us, but he meant to focus that Krishna Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. Krishna is your best friend. And you don't have to go a long way. You don't have to go to America. You don't have to go to India. You don't have to go to anywhere. Because Krishna is right in your heart. Like two birds on a tree. In the Svarasvatara Upanishad. Nice example. It's a good example. There's a tree with fruits on it. One tree, one bird is eating the fruits of the tree, and the other bird is just, when is this bozo gonna turn to me instead of trying to enjoy the fruits? When's he gonna get fed up? You know? Bahunam, Janmanam, Ante. Believe it or not, we've probably been looking for Krishna for many, many lifetimes. Now we've got a chance. We have an opportunity. There's many people in Belgrade who are trying to get money. Now there are economic problems, but there's a scramble. There's a fight. There's a, you know, everybody's trying to get ahead. Somebody gets a good break, a good opportunity, and they take advantage of it, and they get ahead. The rest, they're all, you know, basically, not a lot of difference. Some have a little more education, some have a little less, some are a little bit more inclined as business people, some a little bit less. It kind of evens out. Everybody's struggling. Everybody wants to be on top. Everybody wants opulence, money. Everybody has the same needs. But somebody gets a good break and they take it. You can get a break, but what do they say? Opportunity knocks only once. You know, opportunity knocks on your door. Hi, I'm opportunity. You can come to the top. Sorry, we're busy today. So, this is your opportunity. Tato Brahma Jigyasa. Now, after passing through 8,400,000 species of life, Atato, now, you've got this opportunity. Brahma Jigyasa. Perfect your life. Tamasi Ma. Come out from darkness. Don't be attached to the peanuts. Right? Let go of those peanuts. Give your heart to Krishna. Yoga kshema vahami aham. Krishna will protect you. He says right here, ma suchaha. I will protect you. I will clean your heart from all past sin and you surrender. And the nice thing is that Lord Chaitanya came and showed us exactly how to do that, because there may be some doubt. Okay, I'm ready to surrender, Krishna. What's next? Lord Chaitanya came to show us. Live a simple life and a pious life and chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And susukam kartum avyayam. There's nothing more blissful. This is joyfully performed. I went today to see some people who thought they were having a good time getting drunk and eating poor fishes and smoking cancer sticks and they really believed they were having a good time. But they're going to have to pay a very high price. Not just the bill that they get when they leave the restaurant, but a much higher price. And they get nothing. It all ends the moment they leave the restaurant. They get nothing. They work hard like donkeys. Donkey is a nice example. Donkey carries 100 kilos of grass, or, you know, 100 pounds of cement. Whatever, they carry big loads on their back. You've seen them all. You have donkeys here? Huh? In Serbia, do they have donkeys in the villages? Yeah. They carry big loads. In India, they do all kinds. They carry the washerman's laundry, you know, it's like piles, and down below there's this little But he thinks, if I don't work like this, I won't get the owner won't give me my grass at night. Grass is growing everywhere, Baba. What's your problem?
No, if I don't work on this, I don't get any grass.
And tonight's my night. I'm gonna go see She Donkey. You know? He goes to see her and she's not feeling like it. And she gives him a big kick in the head. With their, you know, desolate donkeys, they kick from the backside, you know. These people, they're donkeys. They work hard all week long, tiaga. And then on the weekend they think, oh, now we'll enjoy boga. Boga and tiaga. But actually they're all suffering. They're becoming more and more entangled. Moha jal, like a fish caught in a seiner's net. You know, the more they struggle in the net, the more their gills become entangled. So stupid. All they have to do is read Bhagavad Gita and they'll see, yeah, that's right. But they won't read Bhagavad Gita. I want to read James Hadley Chase or something. What do they read here? I don't know anymore. Carpetbaggers. Harold Robbins. You want to read some stupid thing? No, read Bhagavad Gita. A lot of people don't even read anymore. Yeah. Just watch television. Come couch potatoes. They sit in, you know. Got a can of beer here, potato chips here, you know. Hours. Mm-hmm. Madness. So, Krishna says, just give all this up. Because thus one may think that unless he is free from all sinful reactions, he cannot take to such doubts as is here said. One should unhesitatingly accept Krishna as the supreme savior of all living entities. With faith and love, one should surrender unto him. The process to Krishna is described in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Anukul yasya sankalpa pratikul yasya varjanam rakshishyatiti vishvaso koptride varanam tatha atma nikshepa karpanye shadvida sharanagati. According to the devotional process, one should simply accept such religious principles that will lead ultimately to the devotional service of the Lord. One may perform a particular occupational duty according to his position in the social order. But if by executing his duty one does not come to the point of Krishna consciousness, all his activities are in vain. Anything that does not lead to the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness should be avoided. One should be confident that in all circumstances Krishna will protect him from all difficulties. There is no need of thinking how one should keep the body and soul together. Krishna will see to that. One should always think himself helpless and should consider Krishna the only basis for his progress in life. As soon as one seriously engages himself in devotional service to the Lord in full Krishna consciousness, at once he becomes freed from all contamination of material nature. There are different processes of religion and purificatory processes by cultivation of knowledge, meditation in the mystic yoga system, etc. But one who surrenders unto Krishna does not have to execute so many methods. That simple surrender unto Krishna will save him from unnecessarily wasting time. One can thus make all progress at once and be free from all sinful reactions. One should be attracted by the beautiful vision of Krishna. His name is Krishna because he is all attractive. One who becomes attracted by the beautiful, all-powerful, omnipotent vision of Krishna is fortunate. There are different kinds of transcendentalists. Some of them are attached to the impersonal Brahman vision, some of them are attracted by the super soul feature, etc. But one who is attracted to the personal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and above all, one who is attracted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, is the most blind. I need light. Is the most perfect transcendentalist. In other words, devotional service to Krishna in full consciousness is the most confidential part of knowledge. That's good. And this is the essence of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Karma yogis, empiric philosophers, mystics, and devotees are all called transcendentalists. But one who is a pure devotee is the best of all. the particular words used here, ma suchaha, don't fear, don't hesitate, don't worry, are very significant. One may be perplexed as to how one can give up all kinds of religious forms and simply surrender unto Krishna, but such worry is useless. So there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna tells Arjuna, Yavam Artha Udapane Sarvata Samplutodake Tavan Sarveshu Vedeshu Brahmanasya Vijana. That's a nice verse. Whatever you can do in a small little pond, you know, maybe you can take a bath, or maybe you can wash your cloth in a small little pond. You can do that in a large reservoir. Plus you can do so much more. You can wash your cloth, go for a swim, you know, take your motorboat out for a ride, you know, all kinds of things. And similarly, one who knows the purpose behind all the scriptures, in this case we're talking about the Vedas, but the Vedas are the most complete body of knowledge available on this planet, describing the absolute truth, the summum bonum, the topmost yoga. Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yo mam sami yukta tamo mata. Of all yogis, one who surrenders unto me in devotion is the topmost. I am. Love is actually such a powerful energy. And again, let's not mistake this for lust. Lust, when it's applied to Krishna, becomes transformed. From kama, it becomes prema. It's like Kubja. She had kama for Krishna, lusty after Krishna, but by Krishna's mercy, she became a lover of Krishna. And there are many examples. Shabari also told you about her. She was eating fruit and then offering it to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Beautiful example. Simple devotee. So, all we have to do is develop our love for Krishna, and all the processes are included in that. The purpose is Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Paramaka, Vasudeva Paramjnanam, Vasudeva Parodharmo, Vasudeva Paragatihi, Vasudeva Paro Yoga. Krishna's the goal of all of our activities. We only get a tiny fraction of pleasure that we could get if we connected everything with Krishna. Whatever we do, if it's disconnected with our devotion to God or our path, if we're off the path, if we're on the path, back to home, back to Godhead, then whatever we do will give us so much more pleasure and satisfaction. So we're actually being kripanas. Yova ethad aksharam gargya vidvashma lokat praiti sat kripana. Someone who gets the human form of life and does not use it for developing his loving relationship with God is a miser. You've got something so valuable, you're so much far ahead of the animal kingdom. All they can do is, you know, we have this meeting here tonight. Govinda invited, we invited everyone to come. Not even one mosquito came for my lecture tonight. I'm really upset about that. No birds came. Maybe some cats. Did any cats sneak in? The animals are not interested. So, we have this opportunity. So, if we don't take advantage of it, then we're misusing something very valuable. You know, if you win some big lottery. Do they have lotteries in Serbia? A lot of lotteries. You know, if you win the topmost, I know in America they have lotteries where, you know, this week someone didn't win it, you know, next week. After months, you know, you can win $50 million or something. I'm serious, a big amount of money. And you win that, and then you just, you know, throw it in the ocean or something. People think you're mad. We won. We made it. We came through all the different species of life. We were dogs, we were cats, we were birds, we were Indragopa germs, we were demigods. We did so many things. Now we're here. We can get free now. It's graduation. No more birth and death, no more suffering, no more misery, no more anxiety. Only Anandam Buddhivardhanam, only an ocean of ever-increasing bliss. It's there. Take it. No. No, I've got to smoke a cigarette now. I can't. I've got to go see a movie. I've got to make out with my girlfriend. But I don't want to come to here. We don't even tell people in a stone. Just hear. Just listen. You don't have to do anything else but keep yourself in the area where devotees are speaking about Krishna. You know, there's a story of the bank robbers. And so the plan was made. Everybody would go into the bank, steal from the bank, and they'd have a getaway car outside ready. They'd come running out of the bank, jump in the car, get away. So the man who was assigned to drive the car, he was waiting outside the bank. And there was a Brahmin there reading Bhagavad Gita. So while he was there, he heard the Brahmin reading Bhagavad Gita. So, you know, they robbed the bank, killed a few people, jumped in the car, and made their getaway. They were eventually all caught, and they were all hung. And so they all went to hell. But when they were about to take the driver of the car to hell, he had a little bit of pious activity there. He heard Bhagavad Gita. So Yamaraj informed him, you've got, you know, the good news is this. The bad news is you're going to hell. The good news is you can have, you know, 5 minutes in heaven. What do you want first? I might as well get the good part over. I'll go to heaven first. So while he was there in heaven, there were other Brahmins there reading Bhagavad Gita, so he heard some more. And that way, he got to stay. Happy ending. But all you have to do is, you know, like we discussed last night, brush away the cobwebs. You know, stop the atrophy of the brain. Start thinking. When we talked about love being a verb, so, you know, just imagine you know, you get married, your husband tells you, you know, I love you, you know, and you're all excited, you're going to be married, and your husband loves you. Then after your marriage, he doesn't buy you any saris, he doesn't take you anywhere, he just gives you the laundry to wash. What kind of love is that? It means doing something. Right? It means doing something for the person that you love. So we should do something for Lord Krishna. Some service. We're capable. You're going to have to serve someone anyway. You cannot avoid it. You got to serve somebody. Even Bob Dylan understood it. Maybe the devil, or maybe the Lord. You know, he sang one song. Did you ever hear that? We do. Ultimately, if you say, I'm not serving anyone, you're serving your mind. I want this. Go get it. All right. I want that. Get it. All right. Okay. Yeah. We're serving. We're following. So why don't we serve Krishna? He's the only one anywhere who has promised us such an opportunity as eternal life full of bliss and knowledge. And all he's asking is just one lifetime. And if you're not satisfied, next lifetime you can do something else. Right? Just give this life to Krishna, and if it doesn't work, then next life you can do something else. Makes sense, right? So, we should have, 10 million people, 2 million people in Belgrade. Why don't we have a center here? I don't understand. It's only a small portion of the devotees here have been preached to over the years. Why don't you get yourselves together? Why don't you cooperate? Oh, it's impossible, Maharaj. You don't know. The obstacles here are too great. Well, I don't believe it. Because I remember from the very day I joined the movement, we were always being put in jail for something. And in Vancouver, it's a logging town, a fishing town. So loggers were coming in from outside the city, and they'd been up in the woods for months, and all they wanted to do was go to whorehouses and get drunk in the bars. And the fishermen, same thing, they'd been out on the boat for a month, and we'd be out there chanting Hare Krishna. We'd get eggs thrown at us, tomatoes, people. I remember we used to give out incense, and people would take the incense from the devotees, and they'd light it and come up behind the devotees and stick them with the incense. It was hard. It was real hard. And look at the devotees in Russia. Many devotees lost their lives trying to serve. Why should it be so difficult here? Is there anything worth living for if you can't serve the one you love? What are you living for? To eat and sleep some more? And mate and defend? Is that, you want to be an animal a little while longer and that'll really be the perfection of your life? I lasted for 80 years as a really good animal. Hey, congratulations, good job. You know? Or is it better to live even one moment in Krishna consciousness, serving Krishna with your full heart and soul? Kim pramatasya bahu bihir parokshaya hire parokshaya hire anayri ha varamuhurtam vidate gatate shreyase yata. Better to live for one muhurt, one moment, in Krishna consciousness and to live for thousands of years like a tree. There's trees in California, redwood trees. They live for 5,000 years, 10,000 years. Huge trees. You can drive a car through them. And sometimes the tree, the trunk will somehow come like this, and they actually have. You know, people sell tickets to drive through the tree. What's the value in that life? So, you know, why don't we get it together? Oh, I got this problem, that one, this guy fell down, that Krishna's, you know, that's it. Your relationship is between you and Krishna. Oh yeah, you need someone to help you. You always need someone to help you. I need someone to help me. I get by with a little help from my God brothers. You know? A little help from my friends. My spiritual master, many devotees never met him. Most of my God brothers had very little or no association with him. But some of them are the best devotees today, working very hard to serve Prabhupada. Because they have other God brothers and they get help in that way. So, I know the problems. I know what they are. And, you know, I really, genuinely, my heart goes out to devotees who feel that, you know, they've been cheated or, you know, I know devotees who, they tried once, fell down. Tried twice, fell down. Alright, third time got initiated, fell down. Three-time losers. But I know a number of them who were very active in devotional service because this is not a personality cult. There's a guru and the guru, and Krishna says surrender to the guru, the principal. We have deities in Bombay, Lord Chaitanya, beautiful Gaurangita deities. We have the best deity worship, almost practically, most opulent certainly, anywhere in the world. Beautiful Shringar, beautiful dresses. Each set of cloth costs $15,000-$20,000. And they have so many sets. And they have so much jewelry and opulence. The wealthiest people in India come to see our deities and give donations. But Lord Chaitanya broke. He was, at the time of installation, he was broken. And he was cemented in, but finally broke. So, it was very disturbing to us. We realized there was some defect in our devotional service, maybe, or what was he trying to teach us? So, but anyway, we got another deity, Lord Chaitanya, carved, looked exactly like the old one, so that Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya looked like a set. And then we took that broken deity with kirtan in a boat out in the ocean, worshipped him, put him in the ocean. And we're still serving Gaurangitai. Oh, Gaurangitai broke. We're not going to worship Gaurangitai anymore. It's just Radha Krishna now. So, I'm so experienced. You know, after a while, after all the traveling, after all the asking and inquiring and seeing different servants, there's no excuse for not being actively engaged in devotional service and for not working together. for giving up your petty differences, fault finding, working together as a family, for trying to see the good in other devotees. No excuse. Come and pray to the Lord, offer your prayers, talk to Him, He'll talk to you. You're a really nice group of people. You've been through a lot. And I really appreciate your devotional service, and I know Prabhupada would appreciate you all also. But I'd really like to see you do something in a city of 2.5 million people. Somehow, look at, in Moscow, you know, in Russia, what things to do? They were so under surveillance, you know, Big Brother watching you. They would have a program at 8 o'clock at night or 7 o'clock at night, and devotees would start arriving at 6 o'clock in the morning because they didn't want a large group of people coming all at once to any particular place, because there'd be someone out there, some self-appointed do-gooder, taking notes, telling the KGB. Like I said, one lady, she lost her child in jail. What was her crime? Her only crime was she didn't get caught at any worship ceremony or anything. Her crime was she translated Bhagavad Gita into Russian. So she was thrown in jail she was pregnant at the time. And her lawyer brought up in the trial that actually Madame Blavatsky had translated Bhagavad Gita into Russian in 1914 or something. Madame Blavatsky heard, what do they call it? Theosophical Society. You've heard of that? Quite famous. They said, no, this is Bhagavad Gita as it is. So she was in jail, and she gave birth to a child, and they took her child away, and the child died. But she still, she didn't give up. In fact, when she got out of jail, she became one of the most dynamic, hardcore preachers you ever want to meet. What's her name? Krishna Loka Radio.
Kalavati?
Who?
Kalavati? No.
I don't know. Other devotees who are in mental hospitals being zapped with electronic stuff and given weird drugs until they actually went crazy. You don't have to face that. Okay, we're gonna show you a little entertainment. Entertain TV. It's a nice, really nice video. Does anybody have any questions? You got 10 seconds. 1,000, 9,000, 8,000. Don't come up to me afterwards and say, Mom, I just have this question. 7,000. 6,000, 5,000. Okay. How do you go?